I'm here today with the guest soloist for Saturday's concert, Charlotte Marks, who is the Stallberg Gold Medalist of 2018. And I'm also here with music director Julian Quercy, who is leading a fantastic concert of music of Tchaikovsky and music of Ms. Klein. And we're excited to hear about the program. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Julian.
Thank you.
For joining me here today.
Thank you, Kara.
Wow. Charlotte, I just asked you about your travels. You arrived here yesterday from your home in Seattle.
Yes.
And that's where you grew up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did you get started on violin?
So my whole family is musicians. My mom is a cellist and later in her life a cello teacher. And my dad plays the double bass. And, you know, when I was growing up, my sister was already, pretty progressed on cello. And I started the cello, actually, when I was five because my mom thought, you know, free lessons. but I was terrible at it. So that was kind of like threw a wrench in their plans, and they kind of stuck along with it for a while. And then I think there was this moment when my grandparents came over, you know, to listen to us play. And then while I was playing, my grandfather put his newspaper up and started reading it. And that was kind of like a shock for my mom because, my grandparents are like so supportive of us, like crazy supportive. But like if he was that bored, that says something. If even our grandparents can't listen to me, that's saying something. So she was like, Charlotte, you need to. We're gonna try you on a new instrument. And at the time, I had no idea what a violin was. I wanted to play the piano.
Oh,
I don't know how. I was a really strange kid. I had this idea that I was just gonna be like this soulful, amazing pianist. But my mom was like, "No, I don't know what's going on with the piano. So you're gonna play a string instrument. You're gonna play the violin." So I started with this woman, Jan Coleman, who's just this incredible, incredible human being, just amazing. And from the very first lesson, she told my mom, you know, she has some potential. And my mom was like, great, you got it now. And I've been going ever since.
Wow. You might have been handed an accordion or something.
Right? I know, right? I got lucky.
wonderful solo instrument. And you're playing an amazing concerto on Saturday, the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. Mm-hmm. Let me ask Julian Quercy, how you traveled from your home in Montreal last week, I'm sure.
Yes, I arrived. And I have to say that it was very smooth for me. There was, even though we had a record snowstorm in Montreal the day that I left, I was on the only flight that got out, and here I am. We had a little bit of trouble with the weather. We didn't cancel a rehearsal, but for people who were coming from far away, we told them if you're putting yourself or your vehicle in danger, don't come, and you won't be penalized. And so we kind of had our first rehearsal. We didn't have the full orchestra there.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really looking forward to this program. And it's funny, Charlotte, your story about how you were switching from cello to violin, I have a similar experience with my daughter, but it's the opposite.
Oh, really? Because
my son is, he's seven, and my daughter's five. And my son's been playing violin for 2 years. And I'm kind of I started on the violin, but I also play viola. And so I've always been planning that, you know, we would have a family trio. So since my daughter was tiny, I was talking up the cello and, you know, showing her cellos and playing cello music and also looking on YouTube to find some, you know, some women cellists that she could relate to.
Yeah.
And she was just obsessed with the violin.
Oh my gosh.
And finally, you know, she's 5 years old now, and I think that's a good time to start a string instrument.
Yeah.
And I made one last push, and I kind of said, you know, we could really, no, I want to play the violin. And so she had her first lesson a couple weeks ago, and she is in love with it. And she walks around the house with her violin case.
Oh, that's great. That's so cute.
That limits the trios.
Have to play quartets. We'll find a cellist somewhere.
So music has been like inside you and a practicing art for since you were very young, for both of you. The fact that, you know, you won the Stolberg International String Competition doesn't represent like a lucky chance at all. It's the result of 15 years, maybe 14 years of study. And how old are you actually, Charlotte?
I'm 16.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, 12 years, 11 years. Wow. Well, could we hear a story about the Stolberg itself and the trip there and what it was like to work there over a couple days?
Well, it was just incredible. And, you know, you were saying that I think as far as being a lucky chance versus the result of work, I think it's a little bit of both. Because just going there and seeing all of these just absolutely incredible musicians just in one place, it was so inspiring. Just to realize, you know, one would think that when you're at a competition and you see a bunch of really great musicians, it'd be like, uh-oh. But it's just kind of comforting to know that, like, you're very much not alone in, like, this effort. And I feel like the world of music really is, everyone is trying to accomplish the same thing. You know, we're all trying to bring music to the world. And it was really incredible to see so many other young musicians trying to do that.
Did you recognize any of them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the music world is tiny. So actually, there was this this girl who recently joined my local studio at home. And it's funny, actually, because the last year or so, I've been flying up to L.A. to have some lessons down there. And she's been flying up to Seattle from L.A. to have lessons up here. So that was really fun. And I don't actually get to see her much. So it was really, really fun to hang out with her a little bit. And there's this other girl, the bronze medalist, who I have known for quite some time. And she's just amazing. Just amazing player. And yeah, we're really good friends. And the music world is so small. It's awesome. The one thing that I was really, really impressed with the running of the Stolberg was just how organized everything was. It was just one thing that really hit me was that, like, I had my own practice room. And wow. Like, you know, you wouldn't think that would be like such a huge thing, but it matters so much to have like just like your place where you can like kind of, you know, recharge and feel very much like in the zone, because, you know, I several competitions that I've been to, you know, I mean, not to disparage any of them, they were all incredible experiences, but I just loved being able to just like close the door in like my own practice room and have my name on it, which was awesome. It's the little things.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool. And the whole venue, the building, was just gorgeous. Oh. I loved it. It was spectacular. You know, I was really impressed because actually I hadn't heard of Kalamazoo before I came here. I probably should have, but I hadn't heard of it. Yeah, and I was so impressed by the music facility there, and it was like such a high quality facility. Yeah. And that was yeah. Really, really cool.
I love it too. I went to school there.
Oh.
And it's just one of the core places for me in living in this town. Just there last night to hear a concert of Professor Colson's music, and it was really cool. Back to the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra on stage Saturday at Miller Auditorium. Julian, I'd like you to kind of pick up the strings from here and talk about the concert you designed. Or is this a concert you designed?
It's not yet.
Kara,
I just...
I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's so funny because in this music world, the fruits of our labors are usually about a year. They come out a year later. So I'm actually, at this very moment, we are almost ready to finalize my inaugural season of my programming.
Yeah.
So this concert reflects something that was already programmed before I took this position. That being said, I think it's a wonderful program. We open with a work by Anna Klein, who's a British composer. She was in residence with the Chicago Symphony for a number of years. That's when she wrote this piece called Night Fairy. And it's very dark and tumultuous and rich. And for me, very interesting, her way of approaching the actual writing of it. Right. I've never come across this, and it's in fact something that I've often thought about. She had an apartment, and she put up on the wall about 7 canvases, blank canvases, and she started to paint, and almost like collage. She was cutting, you know, pictures out of old books and putting them on and painting. And she would paint one picture, one canvas, and then she would go to her writing desk, and she would compose music that follows the picture, that follows the emotional content, that follows the way that it looks. And then she would go back and paint the next canvas and then write the next section of music. And she did this 7 times. And we actually have all of these pictures. And for the concert, we're gonna put them above the orchestra on a very slow-moving screen that the audience will be able to sit there and watch and listen and to see how the composer has translated the visual into the acoustic. Huh. And it's this amazing process that I think is very unique.
These kinds of compositional innovations have started happening in the last century. We had some famous composers,
sure,
like draw pictures with music and things. Like,
sure, and I'm also
page.
You know, like Varese, I think was quite well known at the beginning of the 20th century, that he would very much take scissors and, you know, cut things out and paste them, and it was very much a music inspired by some of the visual art at that time. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. But I mean, this is somehow different, that she's painting it, and it's not a pastiche. It's really a narrative, and it's sort of like a journey or a voyage or a map. I mean, it's very, very interesting. And then after this, which is quite a substantial work, after this we'll go straight into the Violin Concerto, which is one of the great classics of the repertoire. And in fact, if the audience doesn't applaud after the first movement, I'll be very, very surprised.
Yes,
I mean, that first movement is probably longer than any other Mozart concerto. All 3 movements of it. You have so much music and so much feeling and emotion packed into that. And then the second and the third movement, I mean, to die for. They're all just so gorgeous. And you know, I was never a good enough violinist to be able to dream of playing this with orchestra, but it would have been, if I could have, it would have been my first choice, because I can listen to it and conduct it as many times as you want.
Quick question. Have you conducted this concerto before with other orchestras?
Sure, yes. Okay. Many times.
And Charlotte, have you played this with an orchestra before?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So both of you are bringing past experience.
There's something very interesting with this concerto, that Tchaikovsky wrote it, and then there was a very famous violin professor, Leopold Auer, who then he sort of created his own version that in some cases really kind of overdoes what Tchaikovsky had written, and there's a lot of stuff that he puts in, you know, harmonics and passages that go up and down. And so I'm always very interested when I meet a new violinist, because a lot of people take little bits and pieces from the Auer version, but not everything. So it's always very interesting to see, and I'm going to be curious to see what you do.
Yeah,
you know, there were some of these moments where people will diverge from Tchaikovsky. There are other people who say, no, I really want to play the way Tchaikovsky wrote, and I respect that completely as well. But it's just a very living concerto. It's not set in stone.
I didn't realize that this Professor Auer's version was considered a legitimate alternate in some cases.
Absolutely. And you know, wasn't he the teacher of Heifetz?
Yes, he was a very accomplished musician himself.
I mean, his studio was probably one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful pedagogue, teacher, writer. And you know, I have a funny story about this Auer version. I was in a conducting competition in Germany, and I was in the last round, and the last round was accompanying the Tchaikovsky concerto. And there was a wonderful young violinist who came to play it with all the candidates. And
that's a lot of Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, it's a lot of Tchaikovsky. Well, I think there was only three of us by that point. And and so I was conducting. It was the last movement, and she was playing fantastically. I was enjoying it. I was looking at her. I was smiling, and then out of nowhere, she picked one bar in this long passage. She picked one bar to play the hour version of that bar, which was a very strange harmonic that kind of jumps way up, and it was something that totally took me by surprise, but I loved it, and I reacted, and I smiled, and she smiled back at me, and we shared this moment. And then afterwards, you know, I thought I'd done great. And then afterwards, I walk into the jury room to get the final result, and they were looking at me with these terrible faces. And then in this very German way, they said, you know, Mr. Qwerty, you know, we think you're a very talented conductor, and we would love to award you the first prize, but we all feel the same way on the jury that we must make a statement now, because under no circumstances, if you have a soloist who makes a mistake, should you laugh at them? And I didn't know what they were talking about. And I said, "What do you mean?" And this is all in German, which you know I speak, but I can't argue as well in German as I can in English. And they said, "Well, yes, you know, when she obviously she made a big mistake in that one passage, you know, around whatever letter." And I looked and I said, "No, yeah, I mean this. She was actually putting in a bar from the other version." And then I asked them, "You're aware, of course, that there is another version of this concerto," and they kind of looked at each other, and so then I got really mad at them, and I told these professors that, you know, you of all people who are, you know, judging us, you should at least be aware and you should know, and I stormed out of there. But yeah.
That's a fantastic anecdote. And you will be learning all of this about each other in rehearsal tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday as well. The concert starts at 8 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. There's a 7 o'clock prelude to learn more behind the scenes and behind the music information as well. And tickets and more information are online at KalamazooSymphony.com.
And Kara, if I can add one other thing, that we will also have what we call afterwards, which after the concert is finished, Charlotte, you'll join me on stage, and we'll get a chance right after the symphony's finished, we'll get a chance to talk to the audience, and they'll be able to ask us questions, and we can respond about how we felt, what was going through our head. I mean, it's a way of personally connecting with the public.
That sounds awesome.
I invite everybody who's coming to the concert, please stay afterwards.
It's like the press conference after a football game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how did it feel when the strings went this way and you went that way?
That's right. Yeah, we can talk about who won, right? Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of your conversation here so far this hour. I would like to take a short break to hear some of this concerto, and I'll take your cue, Julian, on first, second, or third movement.
How about the third?
Great. We have a recording here from a violinist no longer with us, but a great legend, David Oistrakh, and the Philadelphia Orchestra, led by Eugene Normandy.
Thank you.
David Oistrakh and the Philadelphia Orchestra, UT Normandy conducting, and Julian here will endorse that recording for you.
Oh, one of my favorites. So much character, so much soul.
I'm here with Julian Quarty, the music director of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. He'll be conducting a full program on Saturday at 8 p.m. as part of the Symphonic Series. Details at kalamazoosymphony.com. And a young woman who recently appeared on From the Top, Charlotte Marks, also gold medalist of the 2018 Stolberg International String Competition, is the soloist for the Tchaikovsky. And Charlotte, that's a lot of notes.
Yeah, I know, right? It's pretty awesome.
Are you just, you've learned the piece,
yes.
You've played it several times.
Yes.
You're just going to go out and get them on
Saturday. Oh, yeah. I'm really excited. It's one of my, it's probably my all-time favorite violin concerto. It's so gorgeous.
Did it take a long time to learn? It's a very substantial piece.
I was really lucky. I've learned it before. So when I learned it, like, last year or so, right after playing at Stolberg, I started learning, working on the Tchaikovsky, but I'd learned it once before that.
Oh, so it's like learning and relearning.
Exactly. Oh. That's what you do with concertos like this one. You know, I'm going to be relearning it several times throughout my life, I hope. Yeah. So I actually can't remember how long it took me to learn, but it feels like I've known it forever now.
This whole program, and the two Tchaikovsky pieces in particular, he gives so much of the musical narrative and job to the strings in both pieces. You know, sometimes the brass really gets all the credit, gets a lot of the glory for the Fifth Symphony, Julian, but, you know, if the violinist were to talk to you about it, they'd say, no, this is our credit goes to
I really feel that, especially in Tchaikovsky's music, the strings are the heart and the soul, and that's where the passion comes from. And the brass is usually, there are wonderful, beautiful lyric moments, but often he uses the brass when he wants to, you know, up the ante, when he wants to really talk about something much more potent, much heavier and much more profound, and his use of the orchestra and color is phenomenal. But before we switch gears to the symphony, I just want to talk about one thing. So you were the winner of the Stolberg competition last year, which I believe was in May, right? And I think that was my first concert here. It was around the same time. And just as it happened, one of the judges of the competition is an old dear friend of mine. And we got together that night, Scott St. John.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, so he's also at Colburn
School,
where my sister
That's
is.
That's right.
So I actually, so we're I huge ask, Scott St. John
So
fans.
I want to tell a little story about Scott St. John and the Tchaikovsky competition.
Oh.
So, you know, he's got a sister who also plays the violin, Lara St. John. Mm-hmm. So when Scott was a teenager, because, you know, he's Canadian.
Yes.
I'm Canadian. We've known each other forever. And when he was a teenager, he came home one day and his sister, who was maybe 13, was sitting in the living room with a bunch of her friends. And they had this tape and she was playing it. And they were laughing, and then she would rewind it, and then they would play it again, and they would laugh. And Scott listened, and he was horrified, because what this was, when he was 15 years old, he played the Tchaikovsky in a competition, and he had a memory slip. It was
in the first
movement, so she was playing this part where he's playing and then he goes to the wrong key, and then and then he tries up high, and then he tries down low, and then he kind of trails off, and it's orchestra. The orchestra keeps on going, and then finally he gets back on track. So this was so traumatic for him that he couldn't play the Tchaikovsky for years after that. In fact, I don't even know if he's even played it now. But since that time, he's been able to to make peace with that blooper, and he's actually embraced it, and you can find it on his webpage.
Oh my God.
So you got to go to his webpage to Scott St. John. I think it's called, you know, Fun Stuff, and then you can listen there. He's got the little MP3 of the blooper.
That's,
I mean,
awesome.
he sounds great, you know, in the concerto. It's just this one of these things that happens.
It's wrong.
Listen to it after you play.
Yeah, so I don't get it in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great story. I feel terrible for that moment in his life, though. I've got these kind of nauseous butterflies.
Right, and especially the fact that it happened is one thing, but then the fact that his sister continually, you know, is getting such evil joy out of it.
That's not going to happen on Saturday.
Let's hope.
If it is, it'll be a good learning experience, and you can put it on your website in 20 years. Charlotte Marx is soloist for the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto on Saturday. Music director Julian Quercy will be leading the full concert of music of Anna Klein and Tchaikovsky. Starts at 8 o'clock. There will be an afterwards, which starts immediately after the final round of applause. And you can really get to know the musicians a little better and see how they're feeling after an intense performance.
And also that'll be after the performance of the symphony. So it'll be at the end of the concert. So but Charlotte will come back and join me on stage, and we'll be able to talk about everything that entire night. It's really it's a venue that people can feel that they can connect with us, the artists on stage, and ask us really anything about what we do, what we have just done, how we think of music, life, food, anything.
Food. Ask us about food.
Well, we have a few more minutes left in this hour. And Julian, let's do switch gears to the Fifth Symphony of Tchaikovsky, fifth of six symphonies total.
And I mean, we often think of the fourth, fifth, and sixth as his most mature symphonic works. You know, personally, he also wrote a seventh, the Manfred Symphony, which I love, and I think it's striking. But it's the seventh has a real narrative that's explicit. In this symphony, in the fifth, I feel that there's also a narrative, but it's not a story with characters and a timeline. It's kind of an internal battle with, he felt often that there was something following him, a monster that he would call it. And in the fourth symphony, which opens with the horns, and it's this big call of fate, and he wrote about this, that he felt that there was something that was following him and that he would try to escape it. It may have been, you know, what we could today think of as, you know, some sort of depression or manic bipolar psychological trouble. I mean, he was a very complicated person. He was homosexual, but at the time there was no label for that, and he also himself denied it. And he was very, very troubled, and so this Fifth Symphony for me is something that it's kind of like a phoenix that starts from the ashes. That the way that it opens, there's such hopelessness and there's such despair. But even still, he finds some germ of something to hang on to and to build from. And we follow this idea that he sets out in the very beginning of the symphony, which comes back in every movement, and it leads us finally to triumph in the end. And it's such an uplifting, it's such a cathartic moment when we finally arrive, and it's joyful, and we feel like we've shed the trouble that has been following us. This symphony has one of the most beautiful, soulful singing second movements, with a very famous horn solo that opens it up, and then this very deep, tender melody carries through different groups of the orchestra, is embellished. It's one of his greatest movements, I think. This symphony is very deep. It's very profound. It asks a lot of important questions, and it tries to answer them. I'm never sure at the end of it whether we've really beat this thing or whether it's just a temporary victory. And I mean, if you look at it in a broader context with the Sixth Symphony, then you know he again tries to do battle, and with the Sixth Symphony, I guess we could say that the composer doesn't win. The way that it ends and it tapers off, and you know he died quite soon afterwards, but this symphony, the fifth, is uplifting, and it gives us hope and it gives us strength, and mm-hmm. I've conducted it quite a number of times, and each time I surprise myself finding something new and something deeper that we can say with the music. So I'm really looking forward to this performance. We had a great rehearsal last night. We looked at all sorts of important details emotionally and of the character. And I think we're going to be able to give a great, grand performance of this symphony.
It's so relatable, and what he's trying to struggle, what he's struggling with is something we all struggle with, and his honesty in this music can make us feel like we're connected.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really speaks to the human soul, and he's not afraid to open himself up. And this is, and you know, and so us on stage as artists, we can't be afraid to open ourselves up.
Yes.
Because this is what we need to do, and this is what we do. And I mean, I think that you can't hear this symphony, and you cannot hear it live without being overwhelmed emotionally.
You won't feel so alone if you come and see this performance.
No, it's something for humanity. It's not music. It's music of the heart, not of the brain. Although, if you do pull back the curtain, I mean, his ability as a composer is bar none, is one of the greatest. He had the facility, the way of working with sound, with the orchestra, to get out anything he wanted. But he was able to just shed all of that and to tell a very honest, personal story. And that's what we do.
Okay, that's where we have to leave it today here on WMUK. I am so thrilled to have had this time with you, Julian and Charlotte.
Thank you.
It's going to be such a special performance. Tickets are available through the KSO box office, or go to the website, KalamazooSymphony.com. Remember that before and after this concert, there are opportunities to learn about the music and meet the artists. You can find that again at KalamazooSymphony.com. Charlotte, best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Have a good time with the KSO.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Julian, I hope this goes so from start to finish. You do take us on that journey.
Thank you, Kara.
On a night ferry and through a symphony of the soul like Tchaikovsky's. Let's finish up with that second movement you talked about. We have a recording with Mravinsky conducting. Let's finish up this hour with music of Tchaikovsky from the Fifth Symphony.